The big E, enlightenment. In Zen, they seem to focus a lot on enlightenment. By the way, enlightenment is a very poor translation of the Pali word bodhi, which means awakening. The first translators of Buddhism to English and German and so forth wanted to basically make it part of the enlightenment movement of, that was the 18th, 19th century. And so they chose the word enlightenment to translate bodhi. But it really means awakening. Waking up from the dream that there's somebody in here who's the most important person in the universe and actually seeing what's going on. So in Zen, they focus a lot on enlightenment, where in Theravadan tradition, there seemed to be less emphasis on the enlightenment thing and more on practical teachings and ethics. You can find that, particularly in Western Theravada-based things, that there's not much talk about enlightenment. But if you look at the suttas, there's quite a lot about awakening. It's what the Buddha was teaching. He said, I teach just this, dukkha and the end of dukkha. And the end of dukkha is awakening. So there's a lot of information in the suttas about that. I think part of the reason it doesn't get stressed as much in the West is in the West there tends to be a lot of striving. And it's maybe better to say, all right, here are the practices, do the practices, see what happens. And if you do it well enough, then you make progress on the spiritual path. In the Theravadan tradition, awakening comes in four stages. The first one is called stream entry. And then there's once returner, non-returner, and full awakening. I'll talk about these in some detail in one of the later talks. It's basically sort of in the West that, all right, here are the practices, do them, just keep doing them. And you don't have to know much about awakening, but if you do them really well, you'll at least get to the first level. And that seems to be the attitude. Whereas in Zen, it's much more like, all right, here's the first level of awakening. You've got to get there. You've got to actually do the practice and get there. And so it's a difference in emphasis. I don't know if the difference is because of the way people are in Japan versus the way they are in Burma and Thailand. I'm just not really sure. But there is a good bit of material on awakening in the Theravadan tradition. What is the role of Nibbana in Theravada? Yeah, it's the goal of the path. But yeah, it's not discussed much in Western Theravadan Buddhism, which maybe is not such a great thing after all. Of course, maybe it's not discussed because it's not well understood. The question goes on, are there any modern-day teachers or patriarchs or matriarchs revered as awakened ones? You do find some in Asia. Ajahn Buddhadasa was said to be awakened. Ajahn Chah was said to be awakened. There's a book by Jack Kornfield. The original title was Living Buddhist Masters. Unfortunately, now it would be called Recently Deceased Buddhist Masters. There's only one of them left alive. I think it's been reissued as Living Buddha, Living Dharma. And it talks about some of the forest masters in Burma and Thailand. And it's quite interesting. And a number of those are supposedly fully awakened. But as my teacher Ayakema said, it takes one to know one. So to know that someone is fully awakened, you need to really know what it means to be fully awakened. And the only way you're going to know that is if you're fully awakened. So are there teachers or patriarchs or matriarchs that are revered as fully awakened? Yes, in Asia there are. In the West, Not really. There are certainly people that claim to be fully awakened, but the statement, "I am enlightened," is so contradictory. I mean, anyone who was fully awakened wouldn't be going around saying, "I am awakened," because I can't get awakened. I is seen as the illusion that it is. Awakening would just happen. So I would say that if you come across anyone who claims to be fully awakened, be careful. All the people I can think of in the West, all the ones currently living that I've had any encounter with that claim to be fully awakened, seem to me clearly to not be fully awakened. It's much easier to tell somebody isn't fully awakened because they do something stupid or something like that, something that is unwholesome. What does it take to become awakened? Insight. Insight into the nature of reality so profound that you truly let go. Insight into the nature of reality such that you really understand that not only is there nothing worth hanging on to, there's nothing that can be hung on to. That seems to be what it takes. And so the idea is to examine reality in light of what's called the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta. Anicca being usually translated as impermanence, inconstancy is a better translation, that everything is changing, nothing is staying the same. Dukkha, which we talked about, bummer, nothing can provide lasting satisfaction, basically. And anatta, not self. That this sense that there is an entity in here, some little guy sitting behind the eyeballs pulling the levers, is just an illusion. And that this mind-body process is not separate from the environment in which it finds itself embedded. It is totally dependent on that environment and not a separate process. That is understood not just from an intellectual standpoint, but from an experiential standpoint. That those three aspects of reality are understood deeply enough so that one lets go.